Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and you're right. Yes, I am having technical issues again. No, there isn't a movie clip to play at the beginning of the show. Yes, it makes me feel awkward every time that happens, but it is what it is. Hopefully, we'll get it sorted out soon. If not, I got some other things coming up that I might be changing the format of the show anyway. So we'll see how it goes, but for now we have no audio. And strangely enough, last time I had no audio, I got a lot of emails from you guys saying that you actually liked the show without the audio clips, which is weird to me, but I whatever. So it is what it is. No audio today, except for my awesome music in between segments, which you all love. On this show, we're going to be talking about Wind River and the Glass Castle. And if you read the intro to the show, you know, I mentioned that it was nothing but Avengers in both of those movies, which is actually kind of interesting. Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen play Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch in the Avengers movies. They star in Wind River, which is written and directed by Taylor Sheridan, the guy who wrote Hell or High Water and Sicario. I think this guy can do no wrong. And I saw Wind River at Sundance. I scrambled across Park City to make sure I was able to see Wind River. So definitely eager to talk about that. And The Glass Castle, which stars future Avenger Brie Larson, who will be playing Captain Marvel for Marvel soon. The Glass Castle is a biopic of Jeanette Walls' memoir. So we'll be talking about that in a few minutes with my buddy Chris Bumbray from JoeBull.com. I haven't had him on here in a while. It felt kind of weird, but I had to bring him back. Who knows what we'll end up talking about. We sometimes go off on tangents and just talk about whatever. So we'll see what happens. But we're definitely going to talk about Wind River, though, for sure, and Glass Castle. And then if something else comes up, well, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. I want to thank everybody again who has been liking Critical, the Movie Critics Network, over on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much for supporting us. Things are going great. We're growing. I love it. Got a lot of great shows. We actually added some more. So go and check all of those out. We got a little bit of everything for whatever you want. Whatever kind of movie fan you are, I think we got something for you. So go to check out Critical, the Movie Critics Network, on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. All right. Let's go ahead and just jump right in this thing. Let me bring Chris up in here. What up, Chris?
Hey, Travis, how you doing, man?
You're supposed to answer, I'm about to. What up, Chris? That's what I was born to do.
I'm about to. Oh, yeah, now I'm in trouble. And I'll never do it again.
It's good to talk to you, man. I feel like I haven't had you on here in a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple months.
Feels like it's been. I know. I was like, it felt weird. I was like, I'm missing something. It's Chris.
I haven't talked to you like more than me, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually been such a crazy few weeks. I mean, I had Comic Con and a bunch of other stuff going on. That show's been kind of sporadic lately. So, but that's the biggest reason. So, I need to get you out to Comic Con one year. I think you'd have fun there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. The gang at Joe Blow goes, but I don't know. I'm not a huge comic guy. I mean, I watch the comic movies and stuff, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, I always complain about superhero stuff, so
yeah, but it's not all superhero stuff. I mean, there's something there for everybody. It's not just Marvel or Warner Brothers stuff.
I go to the Comic-Con in Montreal.
Oh, yeah?
I buy shirts and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean that's what I do when I go when I'm not doing panels or something. I go off and I buy stuff. I buy my Funko figures, you know, and
my girlfriend collects
money.
Funko figures.
Yeah,
my girlfriend collects Funko figures. She got really mad because her friend and I went to Comic Con a couple weeks ago. She was away. She was in Martha's Vineyard, and Anyway, and then her friend, I bought her some art or something like that, and her friend wanted to buy her a Funko figure, and I was trying to convince her to buy her Barb from Stranger Things.
Right.
And then she was like, oh, no, who wants Barb? But then I was like, trust me, Laura's going to want Barb. And then she was like, nah, I'm not going to. She wouldn't buy it for her because the thing is she always takes them out of the out of the cardboard. She likes to just put them on her table by the TV. And she was like, nobody's going to know who it is, but she was upset. She wanted Barb.
I'm not one of those guys who keeps them in the box. I always take all of my Funkos, and I've got more than 100 at this point, probably more than that. And now,
you got the Xenomorph instead. It's actually really cool, though.
Oh, nice. Xenomorph looks good. Nice. Yeah, I bought 2 display cases for my Funkos, and I don't think they're going to be quite enough. I'm going to get another one from somewhere. So, and they're taking over the house. But anyway. Let's talk about Wind River, man. I think you and I both saw this at Sundance, didn't we? Didn't you see it there, too?
Yeah, we might have been in the same screening, actually.
I think we might have been. I think so, yeah. I think we were both there for that one. And I remember I had just come back from seeing something else, and I, like, scrambled to get to Wind River, because I was like, I can't miss it. Or it was Wind River. I think it was Wind River and Mudbound that day. And I think I was scrambling to see both or something like that. So whatever the case.
Sure.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about Mudbound when that gets closer to claim bout, which ain't that far away, actually.
I feel like Netflix it'll just show up one day on Netflix. And I'm like, oh, that, although it's going to TIFF. It's going to TIFF, though. So, and I think it's going to the New York Film Festival as well. So they're doing a push for it, that's for sure.
I know, but didn't they send Beast of No Nation to other festivals, too?
Yeah, they did. Oh, it's going to just show up, though. It won't hit theaters. It's going to just show up on in the queue one day, but hopefully they'll at least like promote it and buy some spots. Like that's the problem I have with Netflix is that, you know, they put stuff out and you have no idea the stuff is coming. Like a good example of that is last week, Message from the King. Have you heard of this movie?
Yeah, it's the Chadwick Boseman movie.
Yeah, it just showed up on Netflix all of a sudden. I was always one night. It was Friday night. I was going to watch Ozark.
It's already on Netflix?
Yeah, it just suddenly.
See, I keep forgetting.
And I was like, Message from the King is out already? Because I saw it at TIFF last year, and it was a good movie, and they bought it for a lot of money, right? Like, it was a pretty big deal at TIFF, and it just suddenly showed up, and they there was no promotions. I never even got – I usually get press releases from TIFF as well, and I don't get TIFF from Netflix when they have a big movie coming out with, like, links or something like that to review. Nothing for Message from the King. It's probably better than half the movies they put out. But it was an acquisition for them. It wasn't something they produced themselves, but like it just showed up and there was no promotion or anything like that. Just suddenly
it's really weird.
It's really
strange. We had this conversation a few months ago, you and I, about Netflix movies, you know, if they really exist, because it just seems like they just come out and then they disappear. And
You think with Chadwick Boseman, though, they'd be doing something, like, considering Black Panther's coming out. I mean, they could have held it for after Black Panther. That might have been a smart thing for them to do. But they also, maybe it was too long, but he's got that Thurgood Marshall movie coming out this fall. Like, he's a pretty fairly big star. He's got a following. So, like, why would they just suddenly, like, just shit it out? And it's like, it's you know, like, no hype at all.
I've put up all the trailers for that movie, and I think I thought it looked good every time I saw them. And I just completely forgot about whatever the release date was. So if it's been out on Netflix, I feel bad because I didn't even remember that it was coming out on Netflix when it came out. It totally slipped my mind, and now I'm going to be scrambling to try and watch it.
it's the best way to describe it is like a 90s era Steven Seagal movie. But instead, like one of his early ones, but instead of Steven Seagal, it's Chadwick Boseman.
Well, then that sounds good
to
me too.
And it's a little, it's a little artier.
Yeah.
Like the person who did it was trying to make an art film, but it was like, you know, whatever. It works though as an action movie. Like there's good action in it.
Sounds like Bushwick.
Yeah, it is a lot like Bushwick. Not as action. Although I didn't like Bushwick though.
I know you didn't like Bushwick.
That was silly. Silly.
Oh, I can't wait. You and I, when that movie comes out, which I think is probably in a couple of weeks. I don't think it's next week. But I think it's soon. We're going to talk more about Bush League. Cause I want to really get into why you don't like it that much. It seems like a movie I thought you would like, but I don't want to get into it now. We got to talk Wind River. Wind River is Taylor Sheridan's directorial debut. It stars Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. And Renner plays a government tracker, basically, who is trying to solve the case for murder on a Native American reservation. For me, Chris, Taylor Sheridan can do just about no wrong at this point. I don't know. I mean, I even watched the old episodes of Sons of Anarchy, and I remembered how I liked his character until he got killed. So I'm like,
that was him, yeah.
I know, and I was watching it, and I was like, God damn, that's Taylor Sheridan. Because it wasn't that long ago that I watched all of Sons of Anarchy. It was only maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, shit, that's Taylor Sheridan. I wonder if that's the same guy. And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, it is the same guy.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
No, but Wind River, to me, fits perfectly with Hell or High Water, Sicario. It's gritty, it's muscular, it's very masculine, but it deals with, you know, longstanding mythologies and cultures and things like that. I mean, something about the way he writes his stories just connects with me on a visceral level. I mean, and Wind River, it makes like a perfect trilogy with all his movies so far.
Well, I think that's a good way to put it. And also, like, I've read interviews with him, and it's like he said that these three movies, really each of them tackles like a major social problem, right? I mean, Sicario was the drug war. Hell or High Water was the financial collapse. And then this one is the mistreatment of indigenous people, right? Which is a huge problem in Canada as well, massive. And it's particularly the missing Native women. We have a huge problem with that in Canada, where there's like the Highway of Tears, because indigenous women go missing by like hundreds here, you know, each year. And I think it's pretty similar to that in the States. And this movie kind of, I think, is really about that, like the way culture treats these indigenous women. And I think, but he gets into that problem. The same thing with Sicario and Hell or High Water. I mean, he gets into it in a very kind of, a visceral way, you know, and he, you know, it's not didactic, you know, and I think that that's what's important about his movies. His movies never feel like he's lecturing you. Like I saw a movie, The Last Thing, with Sean Penn, the Sean Penn movie. It was terrible.
Oh God! But I heard that was awful.
It is. It's terrible, but it's also very didactic, right? Like it's them shaking a finger at you, saying, "This is, you know, you guys are horrible. All you watching this movie are terrible people because you don't Yeah, but you know, the thing is, Wind River, you know, it's really not like that. You know, it's trying to educate you on what the problem is, but it's also just a good, cool action movie too, though. I mean, it's like a good thriller, a good suspense movie, and it has that awesome action climax, right? And it's the same thing. Hell or High Water had that too, and so did Sicario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gave you those moments, and it gave you excitement. You know, it was an exciting. Yeah. They were exciting movies to watch, and I feel that, you know, they're all kind of anchored by a performance. I mean, I found as much as Emily Blunt was good in Sicario, I mean, I thought it was Benicio del Toro's
movie.
And Hell or High Water, I mean, I really felt like it was kind of Ben Foster's movie a little bit. And this one, you know, it's Jeremy Renner, and Jeremy Renner hasn't been this good in a long time. And,
right.
I mean,
he doesn't get enough roles like this. I mean, it's not that he doesn't get leads. He doesn't get roles this quality. I mean, he had Kill the Messenger a couple years ago, which was ostensibly supposed to be his kind of Oscar movie attempt, and it wasn't a good enough movie for it. But he doesn't get enough roles like this that let him really take the stage and take command. And he's absolutely brilliant here. And I love the way Taylor Sheridan writes. You mentioned how all his movies end with some sort of, you know, big climax, and he writes all of his movies with the same sort of three-part structure, it seems like. And at least for me, it works brilliantly. At least I don't want to see him get out of his comfort zone. I'm curious to see what he does with Soldado, since it's a sequel. You know, I'm hoping he doesn't change things up for it. But
well, you know, he's only writing it, though. I mean, he's not. I mean, that's
he's only writing.
He only wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water too. And I mean,
right.
I think though that he's got enough power though. And I've read this with his that he's very much like this with his screenplays ever since Hell or High Water anyway, where that he turns in the screenplay and that by contract they're not allowed to modify it. They have to shoot the screenplay. I think it's probably smart because that's what he is. You know, that's his thing. It's, if you go to see a movie, I mean, I at this point, you know, I consider them Taylor Sheridan movies, right?
Yeah, they're Taylor Sheridan movies.
And I'm going to be thinking of Soldado as a Taylor Sheridan movie. And it just got announced, mm-hmm. by the way, that comes out next June. So quite a ways off. But yeah. I guess they don't
maybe we'll get maybe we'll get lucky and maybe we'll get lucky and play at Sundance.
But, I'd love that. But you know, it's I don't know. I think he's great. He's doing another movie too, though. He's doing a remake of Disorder, which was this Matthias Schoen movie from a few years ago,
yep.
which I thought was actually a really good movie.
Yeah, and, me too.
I could see him taking that, like, I could see that formula working well as a Taylor Sheridan movie. Although it'd be interesting to see him do adaptation.
Well, he's also doing that that series on Wyatt Earp. Who's the other guy who's with him? At the OK Corral.
Isn't it he's doing the Kevin Costner series, Yellowstone or something like that?
Yep, he's doing that. He's doing that, and he's Tim and Jeremy Renner are doing this other cowboy thing, another series.
Oh, it's Doc Holliday, isn't it?
It may be Doc Holliday. It may be. I'm pretty much at this point I'll watch anything Taylor Sheridan does. So it doesn't really matter to me what it is. If he was writing the Emoji movie, I would probably go and see the Emoji movie. I would go see it more eagerly because I'd want to see how the hell he would do that. Yeah. I never did see the Emoji movie. Never really know.
It's like the angry emojis. Hey.
Where did I just watch Jeff Bridges? Oh, The Only Living Boy in New York. Okay, that's what I just saw, man. That's right. That was interesting. But your girl was smoking in that, by the way.
Yes. Kate Beckinsale. Oh. Yes. She's...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're gonna kill that movie when you see it. You're going to destroy it. Yeah. You're going to kill that movie. but I liked Elizabeth Olsen in this movie as well. You know, she kind of had, you know, she was perfectly fine. She kind of felt like the Emily Blunt character to me, which is like, yeah, she's well cast, which she's kind of the naive one walking into this unfamiliar situation. It felt very similar to the Emily Blunt role.
And I liked their dynamic too. I liked that it didn't turn into this kind of, you know, cliche romance type thing. And I also like the fact that, you know, they don't like hate each other at the beginning too. Like they're both eager to see that justice is done. Right. You know, it's kind of one of those things, you know,
right. I think he's wary of her the way he probably should be, you know, and you know, Graham Greene's character feels the same way. And then, you know, they're like, okay, who is this person coming in here? She's totally unprepared. She's totally unprepared for everything that's going on.
Well, which is so a common
they're wary of her.
The way the government considers that, though, like that it's not an important crime, a missing indigenous woman. You know, that's a commentary on that. So it's interesting.
It is. It is, exactly. Yeah. I also liked, and I'm starting to hope that he puts Gil Birmingham in all of his movies.
It's his second really good role for Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah. He was great in Hell or High Water. He's fantastic here as well. I don't know. There's a certain actors that click with certain directors. I think Sheridan has found something with Birmingham because he's been around a long time.
Like,
you know,
it's like something.
But he's never been better than he is right now.
And David Mamet, you know, it's like one of those things where like some actors sound good saying that dialogue, some actors not so much. You know, and
yep.
So it's kind of, you know, it's always that's good.
Yeah, I agree. So Wind River, I think it's a movie that everybody needs to check out.
Warren Ellis, Nick Cave soundtracks too are always really good.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So Taylor Sheridan, Wind River, I think it's the movie to go check out this week. In a pretty decent week of movies, I think it's probably the best one to go check out. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, Chris, and we're going to come back, and you and I are going to talk a little bit about The Glass Castle and then whatever else comes to our mind. So we'll be right back. That was, of course, the GZA, and I think his best Wu-Tang track ever. All right, back here with my homie Chris Bumbray from JoeBull.com. We just finished talking about Wind River. Let's move on to another drama led by an Avenger, Brie Larson in The Glass Castle. This one also stars Woody Harrelson and Naomi Watts, and at least in my opinion, the very underrated Sarah Snook. You ever see? I like her. So what was that movie? She's a sci-fi movie she did a couple years ago.
Predestination.
Yes. So good in that. And I like her in this too, in a smaller role. This movie is based on the memoir by Jeanette Walls about her upbringing. Her father, played by Harrelson, is alcoholic, kind of irresponsible, kind of cruel, abusive father. And then Naomi Watts, an artist who's sort of his enabler. It's really about how Walls overcomes all that. And it's, well, not really overcomes it, but is still dealing with it as she becomes an adult. How did you feel about this movie, Chris, The Glass Castle? Because I was sort of torn on it. I really enjoyed the parts when she was, when they were like in the past, when she was a child and she was really, you know, kind of, you kind of see the hope fade from her a little bit as a child. I thought those scenes worked better than later on when she's an adult.
I agree. I felt exactly the same way, actually. And, you know, the reason for that for me was that I found that Brie Larson, as much as I like her, and I think she's a great actress, I think she was totally miscast in the part.
I think so, too. Wasn't this originally for Jennifer Lawrence? This is originally for Jennifer Lawrence, wasn't it?
Jennifer Lawrence wouldn't have been good in it either, to be honest. The one that they needed was really Emma Stone. I mean, the thing is, you need somebody vulnerable in that part. You know, and the problem is I like Brie Larson a lot, and she can do vulnerability, but not in that part. She's too strong a character. There's something about her. There's also kind of a cynicism to her, you know, and I felt like the stuff that she deals with Woody Harrelson, like especially when she's become that character, like I feel there's no way Brie Larson or the character that she's playing would take any of that bullshit, or that she would ever end up with a guy like Max Greenfield's character. I feel like she's way too smart and sophisticated that kind of thing.
We all immediately picked up on the Max Greenfield milquetoast white boy character. We knew he was not going to be in that one.
So I just didn't buy her in the part, though. It felt like she was totally – and then there's some really melodramatic moments towards the end, and I just like where she breaks down, where she's having dinner with the clients. And, you know, I didn't
her
feel
big moment.
Real.
That's her big moment scene. Well, her big scene is that one.
It didn't feel real to me, though. It didn't feel authentic at all. It felt like she knows it's stupid, you know, like she's kind of I could spot Brie Larson acting throughout the entire movie, you know, and that was and it's weird because I usually really like her. And I loved her in the movie she did with that director before, Destin Cretton.
Daniel Cretton. Short Term 12. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's a fantastic movie, you know, but it's just I really didn't buy her in the part at all. And, you know, I wrote in my review that, you know, it would have been better for the movie if Sarah Snook had played her part. But, you know,
that would have been interesting.
Wouldn't happen, I guess. But, but I thought that the child version of her, the kids, that the people that played her when she was a kid were terrific. But I didn't feel like she was the same person, though. You know, and it was so I don't know. For me, it was really her performance that was kind of the thing that made me not crazy about the movie. And I think she did her best, but I just think she was totally miscast in that part.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
And
I think
Jennifer Lawrence would have been no better. Jennifer Lawrence would have been no better. I mean, I feel Jennifer Lawrence is an actress I used to really like, but I feel that her winning the Oscar for Silver Linings Playbook and working on those three movies
David O.
Russell. I feel like that's the worst thing that could have possibly happened to her acting ability, because he directed her to go so big that she does that now in every movie. And I feel like she's trying to basically, you know, win an Oscar every time she goes up there.
Right.
And she's like chewing scenery in every movie that she's in. And it's just,
Then she might be perfect for Darren Aronofsky's movie then. She might be perfect.
She'd probably
be
great
like
in that, actually.
Yeah, this
probably,
seems like a movie
that's
going to be all big performances.
Yeah, she'll probably be great. And you know what? She will probably be great. Yeah.
Right, she'll probably be great in that. But I don't disagree with you, I feel like this movie is sort of miscast in this, but it's also really not her movie. It's more like Woody Harrelson's movie.
No, it is Woody Harrelson's movie, and Woody Harrelson's really good in this.
He is. He's fantastic. He actually really makes you makes you feel for somebody who is a guy that you really shouldn't feel anything but contempt for. But I found myself
anybody else in that role would have made him, you know, cardboard. Would have made him cardboard. Would have made him just a straight up bad guy. And he is. He's a terrible person. But it's just there is something about him though behind the eyes that makes you kind of, you know, empathize with him a little bit. And I thought that, you know, that Harrelson's performance was great. And I also liked Naomi Watts in it a lot. But it's funny. I don't Naomi Watts. It's weird. She played. I find those roles are so similar. Book of Henry and Glass Castle. And I hated Book of Henry.
It's awful.
But I thought her. But I thought her performance was decent. Like she did her best, and she kind of, you know.
Naomi Watts has found herself getting cast in a lot of really flighty wife or mother roles,
parts, which is weird.
Yeah,
which is so weird. The thing that she's best on though now, I think, is Twin Peaks. She's great on Twin Peaks.
Is she really? I don't watch Twin Peaks.
And it's like straight up comic acting though, and she's terrific. But yeah, it's weird how she's kind of ended up doing that, you know, the flaky mom role in movies.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but she was good. I mean, she suited Glass Castle.
Yeah, she's fine.
But it was
she's
good.
Fine
it was
in everything.
Like,
she's
like,
not a bad actress. She's good in almost everything she does. And I think she's somebody. She's one of those actresses who is attuned to the material. Like she's one of those people that always knows what kind of movie she's in and what kind of performance to give.
Yes.
I just feel like she's been playing this kind of role for a minute. And it's like, all right, you know, I want to see her do something where she's serious again. Like, I like 21 Grams Naomi Watts. Like, give me that Naomi Watts for, like, a movie or two. You know, I want to see her show. She's good.
I heard her show Gypsy wasn't very good, though.
I didn't. Wasn't that on Netflix?
It got canceled already.
I didn't watch that. I didn't watch that either. There's a lot of shit on Netflix. I still haven't watched Wet Hot American Summer.
I watched that last week.
Is it funny?
Yeah, it is. It's funny. It's not as funny as the last one, but it's pretty funny.
Okay, I'm gonna try and catch up with it. I've got too much to do. I got too many shows to watch, man. It's killing me. I just caught up on Westworld, so I'm just like.
Oh wow! Really? Jeez.
I know, but I don't have time. I was inspired by the Westworld panel at Comic Con because I had to sit through it.
Yeah.
Because I was in Hall H, and I didn't want to leave and then not be able to get back in, so I had to sit through it. And I was like, I need to give this show another shot. And when I got back home, I gave it another shot, and I actually ended up liking it. So I'm glad I did. But I'm still trying to play catch up. I think another season of Narcos is starting soon, and I'm just like.
I've never watched Narcos. Yeah. I made it halfway through season one. I like Ozark, so I'm watching that now. That's pretty good.
I need to watch that too. The guy who wrote about it for our site really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It looked like Breaking Bad to me, which as much as I tried to watch Breaking Bad, it never hooked me.
Blasphemy. Breaking Bad is the best show ever.
Maybe I need to get deeper.
Well, up there.
Like I said,
it's
only
The Wire
few...
and The Sopranos. Wire,
oh, Jesus.
I'd say The Wire, The Sopranos, Mad Men, Breaking Bad. Those are the great shows, I would say.
I have a tendency to catch up with shows long after the fact. When everybody's done watching them. Like I watched Mad Men well after it had finished its run. And I absolutely love Mad Men. I think it's one of the best shows ever made. It is fantastic.
You've watched The Wire, though, right?
Of course. Of course, I watched The Wire while it was on HBO, and I keep saying to myself I'm going to watch it again, because every time I turn on HBO Go, they do those awesome promos for their old shows, and I'm like, and they always do one for The Wire, and then they do one for The Sopranos, and it makes me want to watch The Sopranos again, even though I pretty much hated The Sopranos after like season three.
Oh, I love The Sopranos. I'm almost done actually. Hello. Hello? 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 Travis? Travis? Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello? Travis? I can't hear you.